Welcome to the Study On podcast. I'm your host, Angie Bauman, and I am passionate about Bible study. Friend, my journey has not been an easy one. I am a trauma and abuse survivor, and I still walk with a limp. But I also walk in freedom, because as I've studied God's word, He has released me from layers of shame and invited me into a life filled with an abundance of His peace, joy, rest, and hope. I'm transformed because I study the Bible, and my heart's desire is to create offerings that help you get and stay in your Bible so you experience that transformation too. So thank you for spending a few minutes with me. Maybe it's as you enjoy your coffee or with pen and notebook ready, or you're driving to work or walking the dog from wherever you are in your day. Let's dive deep into a verse of scripture together. So we walk, steady on. Let's get started. Welcome, friend. Today, we're going to talk about how God does not forsake us. And we'll be doing that studying Joshua 1:5 using my step-by-step Bible study method. Step-by-step is an inductive Bible study tool. It focuses on one word of one verse of scripture to find life application. And if you'd like to study along with me today, you will find links to a study sheet and the step-by-step masterclass in today's show notes. Joshua 1:5 in the NIV says this: "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." A little bit of information about the book of Joshua. The author actually is unidentified, but many scholars ascribe the book to Joshua himself as the main author, with minor additions made by a couple of other people. The date of the writing is around 1400 BC. Chapter 1, where we are hanging out today, has 18 verses, and the chapter is about God's commission to Joshua. And we are in the section of the chapter that talks about God's promise that victory is assured because Joshua is called by God. So again, the verse, Joshua 1:5 in the NIV, says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Step one in the Bible study method is to choose our word, and our word for today is forsake. The definition of forsake is to abandon, to give up, to leave permanently, or to renounce. Some synonyms of forsake are things like desert, leave, ditch, dump, strand, drop, quit, reject. I'm going to pause right there before we even go any farther. And I just invite you to think about how often when something is not going well in your life, and it can be anything between an inconvenience, something chaotic or confusing in your brain, up to a time of deep sorrow and struggle, you know, a season of loss, a season of heartache, kind of anything. But when we meet a trial, an obstacle, a season of unsettling, anything like that, don't we so quickly deal with the temptation to feel like God has deserted us, right? That God has left us, some of these synonyms, that we have been ditched by God or dumped by God or stranded. That one kind of stood out to me. Stranded by God, that God has dropped us, He has quit us, or He has rejected us. It's really tempting to believe that. And I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this verse, because I want so much for us to hold on to this promise that God doesn't do that. Even when sometimes our circumstances invite us to feel like He has forgotten us or forsaken us, that God does not do that. Instead, this is what God does. We're going to look at the antonyms of forsaken now, or forsake. Keep, He keeps us, right? Approve, allow, claim, retain, hold, accept, embrace, continue, defend. These are the things that God promises to do, right? I'm not going to leave you permanently. I'm not going to strand you. I'm not going to drop you. I'm not going to dump you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to accept you. I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to continue with you. And I love defend. I'm going to defend you. What a difference when we are struggling with something instead of sort of wallowing in that maybe God has left me temptation, instead to praise him because we believe his promise that he is continuing with us. Instead to praise him because we know that he is defending us in this battle, in this trial, wherever we find ourselves, right? I'm choosing to trust in the promise that you have not forsaken me, even though sometimes, I know this well, even though sometimes we don't see him the way that we want to, we don't feel him the way we expected to, but will we walk in faith clinging to this promise? My God does not walk away, right? All right. Step two in the method is called investigate. We divide that up into four parts. Part one is to compare the word in other translations. The Amplified Bible said abandon. The CEB, leave. The Easy English said leave you alone. I will never leave you alone. The EXB, forget. I like that one. I will never forget you. And the TLB, fail to help. I will never fail to help you. And I think it's important to just note right there that God is helping us, even if his helping us isn't the way we expected, wanted, hoped, dreamed it would be. I know there are times in my life that I have foolishly said back to God, this isn't the kind of help that I meant, right? But will we trust in the promises of our faithful God, trust that he is with us, for us, that he is defending us, that he is guiding us, that he is not leaving us, and that he's not failing to help us, and we can trust that how he's helping us is the best and right way to help us. Part two in the investigate step is to research the original word. The Strong's number is H5800, azab. It is a root word that means to loosen or to relinquish or to permit. So again, because God is saying that he will not forsake us, he will not loosen his grip on us. That's the way that I love to imagine that. In my life, a lot of times, because I'm a planner, I'm always making plans. I do not deny this or apologize for it, even in this season of my life. I am a planner. I love to make plans. It's the way that God has made me, right? To be a planner. However, in this season of my life and at this place in my relationship with the Lord, one of the things I often say are, these are my plans and I'm holding them loosely, right? Because I have come to this place of understanding it's not wrong to plan. God does not say to plan, to not plan, but God does remind and call us and instruct us to, the way I say it, hold our plans loosely and submit them to his discretion, to his changing around, right? Like, there may be a way that we think we're going in this certain direction, and we may step out in that certain direction, and God has an adjustment to those plans, and we are holding them loosely. So I try to do that with my own planning, with my own life, quite frankly, is that this is my plan for my life. This is what I want to have happen. But I'm holding that loosely because I'm trusting that God knows more than me. But we flip that in this. God does not hold us loosely, right? God does not hold his plans for us loosely. He is never going to release his grip on us, never going to release his claim on us, never going to go back on the promises that he's made to us. We can hold tight to that while he holds tight to his commitment to us, right? Like, we don't have to worry that he's going to forget us. We don't have to worry that he's going to look away from what he promised us. It's not ever going to happen. He's never going to loosen himself away from us. He's never going to loosen us away from himself. This is a tight relationship. This is a tight hold that he has on us, and we can count on that. The Theological Word Book of the Old Testament defines this word for forsake as to be distant. So there's another promise, like, I'm not going to be distant from you. And that leads me to remembering one of my favorite sermons that I've ever heard. It's from T.D. Jakes. I don't know if you might be familiar with the work of T.D. Jakes. But his sermon, and I'm going to link it in the show notes. I found it on YouTube, and I'm going to link it on the show notes in case anybody's interested. But he did a sermon years ago called Distinctively Similar. And it was on this passage of scripture, Joshua 1:5, and maybe some verses around it. But he was talking about how this verse says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he pointed out in the sermon that there's a distinction between leave and forsake, because leave is something that can be like physical. I was in the room. I left the room. I'm not in the room anymore. And even though our relationship with God isn't like another human, we do have this idea that sometimes God is like left the room, whatever room we happen to be in, like in this trouble or this trial or something like that in our life, right? So there's this idea that God will not leave us. And he said, but forsake is different, because forsake is like an emotional leaving, where sometimes you might still be with someone in the room, but they're not actually there for you anymore. And you know it, right? So there's a leaving that's physical, but there's also a leaving that's emotional. And I'm guessing, I know what this is like in my life, and I'm guessing that you probably do too, where you've continued to be in a physical like place with someone, like you continue to see them, or maybe you're still in relationship or something like that with them, your lives connect, but you know emotionally they're not in the relationship anymore. And I just thought that was such a brilliant way to point out that this promise is not only powerful, but it's also layered. Like God is saying, I'm never going anywhere. I won't leave you physically on your own, and I won't leave you to deal with any kind of emotion, grief, turmoil, chaos inside you on your own either. And I just think that's a beautiful promise. The sermon was distinctively similar, and I am going to, like I said, link it in the show notes. So part three in the investigate step is to read some commentary. I found a few notes I want to share with you. Charles Spurgeon says, what more was needed? What is strong against the Most High? If God promises to never leave us, really, what more do we need? Right? I know sometimes we think we need other things. I know we think that, but ultimately, if in whatever we are going through, we cling tightly to the promise that God is clinging tightly to us, what more do we actually need? In the Bible Knowledge Commentary, this is just a little bit long, so hang with me, but the Bible Knowledge Commentary says this: as Joshua faced the tremendous task of conquering Canaan, that's where we are in the Bible right now, he needed a fresh word of encouragement. From personal observation, Joshua knew that the Canaanites and others were vigorous people who lived in strongly fortified cities. Frequent battles kept their warriors in trim fighting condition, and for the most part, the land was mountainous, a fact that would make war maneuvers most difficult. But when God gives a command, he often accompanies it with a promise. So he assured Joshua a lifetime of continuous victory over his enemies based on his unfailing presence and help, based on God's unfailing presence and help. The words, "I will never leave you," may be rendered, "I will not drop or abandon you." And here's the part that I just love so much. It says, God never walks out on his promises. God doesn't loosen us, right? He doesn't ever walk out on his promises. And I loved what it said. Like a lot of times when he gives a command, he accompanies it. That was easy for me to say, right? He accompanies it with a promise. And that's just so often true in our lives, where we're challenged, we're invited, we're called to step out and to do something, we're told to go. And the thing I think about Moses, where he's like, who are you? What am I supposed to say? What do I say if they ask me who you are? And all of this kind of stuff. And God just says, I am with you. And he says to us, I am. And the I am is going with you. So what more do you need, my child? And I just love that so much. So I have one more note for you in commentary. This is from the New Bible Commentary. It says, it's not so much a matter of obedience to cross the Jordan, as important as that is. It's a matter of trusting in God. He gives them reason to trust. His promise presence is with them. All right. So he's saying you have to cross the Jordan. That's like the next thing to do. That's where we are in the Bible story right now, that they're going to cross the Jordan. And it's important to get across the Jordan, whatever our Jordan is, right? But the most important thing that God is trying to teach us isn't how to get across the Jordan. It's how to depend on him to help us cross the Jordan. How often is it so true in our lives that we think God is calling us to do the thing, whatever the thing is, right? Whatever the crossing the Jordan is in our lives, when in reality, he's calling us to trust. He's calling us to trust. That's it. I have this little heart-shaped rock on my desk, and in it is engraved. My dear friend Amanda got this for me for Christmas or my birthday last year. I can't remember now. But it sits on my desk all the time, little heart-shaped rock, and it says, "She confidently trusts the Lord to take care of her," Psalm 112:7. And I look at that every day. And sometimes when I'm having a day where it feels a little or a lot angsty or struggle-y, I pick up that rock and I cling to it tightly to remind me that no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what decision I have, no matter what criticism I've received, no matter what hard conversation has come my way, no matter what email has popped in my inbox that makes me feel anxious and nervous or not enough, any of that, as I'm sitting here at my desk so many hours in a day, in a week, that I can confidently trust that He is taking care of me. He's not going to loosen me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me ever. That's a promise, and I can cling tightly to that promise. So part four in the investigate step is to try to rewrite the verse in our own words. I'm going to read it again. This is from the NIV. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." I rewrote the verse like this. "No matter what happens to you, Angie, I, God, will never walk away from you physically or emotionally. You will never, ever be alone." Step three in the Bible study method is to find the characteristics of God. I have several to share with you that were kind of top of my list as I was working on this. The first one was faithful. And I just want to repeat what I just read out of that Bible knowledge commentary. God never walks out on His promises. He is faithful to us. I also wrote that He is kind, that He stays with us no matter what we face or how we face it. I want to face my obstacles with peace and tranquility and immediate trust, but sometimes I'm already all worked up before I even realize that I've gotten worked up, and I think, oh, I'm not dealing with this the way that I want to in this season of my walk with the Lord. But He's so kind. He's like, this is where we are. This is where we are. And in this moment where you're recognizing that you're, you know, a little out there with whatever it is that's going on, this is the time to sort of pick up that rock on your desk and say, oh, no. I know what to do here. I put my trust in the Lord. I am confident that You are taking care of me. I also wrote as a characteristic of God, peace, that God is a non-anxious presence. You may have heard me say that before. That's one of my favorite things about God. He's not stirred up if I'm stirred up. He's not worried if I'm worried. He's actually the one that is the non-anxious presence to my anxiety. And also, I put that He is strong, because this goes back to that trust issue and the idea that crossing the Jordan isn't really the main thing that I was just talking about. If He calls us to cross the Jordan, whatever that is in our life, we will be able to do so in His strength. Step number four in the Bible study method is to identify the lie. And I went back to the river for this one because I can feel the enemy call me to look at the river, you know, look at the thing, whatever the thing is, and to call to me to believe or understand or be convinced that that river, whatever it is too wild, it's too cold, it's too long, it's too deep, whatever, right? You'll never make it, basically. You cannot cross that thing. You can't get to the other side. This is going to take you down. You step into that, you step out in faith and try to do that thing, and it's going to take you down. It's going to completely overpower you. And the answer to that is, my friend, found in Ephesians 3:18, which talks about how wide and long and high and deep God's love is. It is so much bigger than anything he calls us to do. It's so much bigger than anything he calls us to face or anything we are facing because of this world. The answer to that lie of the enemy is in Isaiah 43 also, where it talks about when you pass through the waters, God will be with me, right? God, it says, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers, they will not sweep over you. So the very thing that the enemy is trying to convince me of, that this is going to overtake me and I will not be able to do it. The half truth in that is I will not be able to do it. If I try to do it on my own, I am going down, but I don't have to do it on my own. That's this promise, right? And God says, I'm not gonna let that happen to you. You hang tight to me and I'll hang tight to you. So step five in the Bible study method is called so what? And I'm going to go back to this, the top part of this verse that talks about how as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Because sometimes I am left wanting because maybe I look at how God is showing up in someone else's life and he's not showing up in mine like that. Oh, why do I do this? But I do it. This confession, right? And I think back on T.D. Jakes' message. I mentioned this before a few moments ago, that he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will be with you like I was with Moses. But that doesn't mean it will look like it did in Moses's life. And so for my so what, I want to remember that my journey with God is unique and I can trust him to be with me and I can trust that he is with me, even if it's different than I thought it would be, even if it's different than I've seen it play out in the lives of other people, even if it's different than what I've experienced before. He will not leave me. He will not walk away from his promises. And in that, I can confidently trust. I would love to hear your takeaway. You can email me anytime at studyonpodcast@gmail.com. If you have not yet, I would be so grateful if you would subscribe to the podcast on whatever directory you use to listen. It only takes a second and it guarantees that you will see new episodes every time they drop. And if someone happened to come to mind today, do you have a friend that's trying to cross the Jordan? You might. I would be so honored if you would share this episode with her. Inviting someone else into what we're doing here is another great way to support the show. Friend, thank you so much for listening. I pray wherever your day takes you, you are walking in the confident knowledge that you are a beloved, cherished child of God. Peace.